Marked early, sent far. Alejandro Arias traces a life of healing, heaven-imprinted purpose, and a widening Pentecost assignment. Alejandro Arias grew up in a home that carried two realities at once. On the surface, there was stability and provision. Underneath, there was deep strain. His father was financially successful, yet bound by alcohol. His mother was crushed by the weight of a marriage that was unraveling. Conflict became routine. Hope felt scarce. Even as a little boy, Alejandro carried an uncommon awareness of God. He describes it as certainty, steady and quiet, that the Lord would rescue his family. He could see what was happening around him, and he sensed something even stronger happening within him. Heaven had already leaned toward his story. A two-year-old and a white dove. Alejandro's first supernatural moment comes through the way his family tells it, and it later became part of his biography. At 2 years old, visiting his grandmother, he saw a white dove. In that instant, he lifted his hands and declared, "The Holy Spirit is upon me." His mother and grandmother were stunned. The language came from a place deeper than instruction. His parents were nominal Catholics, with church as an occasional practice. Spiritual conversation stayed minimal in the home. Yet Alejandro describes that moment as imprint, a divine marker placed on him before he had words for it. He often talks about hunger that appeared early, a desire to know God that felt placed inside him. The five-year-old priest in an oversized shirt. By five, that hunger had taken shape. When his family attended Mass, Alejandro listened with intense focus. He watched the priest, absorbed the message, memorized what he heard, and carried the stories back to his neighborhood like a child on assignment. Then he gathered his friends, put on one of his father's oversized t-shirts, and recreated the entire service. He wanted the ceremony to feel complete. He asked his father for cookies to symbolize the bread, and his mother for grape juice. He asked for candles and had help lighting them. He preached with a seriousness that startled the adults. His friends loved it for the snack and the novelty. They lined up twice for communion because they thought it was fun. Alejandro describes it differently. For me, it was serious business. I was serving the Lord, and I wanted to preach the gospel. His parents could not explain what they were seeing, and they recognized something unusual resting on his life. The day his mother reached for pills and Jesus walked in, the turning point for the family began with Alejandro's mother. Depression had grown heavy. Suicide began to feel like relief. One day, when the house was empty, she sat in her living room with pills and a glass of water. Her plan was to take them and go to sleep. Then interruption came. She reached for the radio, searching for a station. She later told the family a much larger hand took hold of her hand and redirected the dial to Christian radio. As she listened to the preacher, she felt the presence of God invade the room. She described it as a wave of love. She fell to her knees. For more than an hour, she cried, overwhelmed, and she surrendered her life to Jesus in that room. 2 weeks later, the family began attending a Church of God across the street. Alejandro remembers watching the pastor's passion for Scripture and witnessing the power of God at work in those services. During an outdoor camp meeting in his neighborhood, he sat on the front row, waiting for the altar call. When the invitation came, he ran forward, lifted his hands, and asked to receive Jesus as his personal Savior. From that point, his sense of calling sharpened. The priesthood he imagined as a Catholic child gave way to a new clarity. He wanted to become a pastor. a child with a hobby of evangelism. After that encounter, Alejandro threw himself into church life with intensity far beyond his age. Prayer meetings, all-night prayer meetings, evangelism as a hobby. He loved giving out literature and telling people about Jesus. He preached anywhere he could. At rallies, he would get absorbed in ministering to people, and leaders would use the microphone to locate the missing child and call his parents to come get him. He describes preaching on buses, preaching to strangers, preaching whenever a door opened. He also remembers prophetic words gathering around him while he was still a child. Visiting ministers would pull him from the crowd, lay hands on him, and speak over him. "One day you will preach the gospel. One day you will travel the world. One day you will be on airplanes." Alejandro later looked at his adult life and saw those childhood words as early scaffolding. Today, he says he has preached the gospel for more than 2 decades and has traveled to almost 60 nations. 8 years old, a tumor, and a 1-year prognosis. At 8, his story took a sharp turn. Alejandro had dealt with asthma, bronchitis, and recurring health issues. Appendicitis brought him to the hospital for surgery. During testing, doctors discovered something far more serious, a rare mass located between his lungs and his heart. He expected to go home within days. Instead, he remained in the hospital while doctors examined him repeatedly, spoke in medical language, and kept his mother waiting for clarity. After a week, she demanded answers. A physician finally told her the diagnosis. The tumor was rare, outside the reach of surgery, and described as incurable. Later, Alejandro would carry the prognosis plainly, 1 year to live. He went home carrying 2 realities at once. A medical report sat on one side, a promise sat on the other. Every night for 3 months, he prayed in his room and reminded the Lord of the prophetic words spoken over him. He held the tension with a child's simplicity and a prophet's insistence. He believed God would heal him. During that season, the pressure on the family intensified. His mother became overwhelmed and pulled back from church. His father leaned further into alcohol. Alejandro kept praying anyway. The healing meeting across the street. Then came a night that changed everything. A healing service was happening across the street at the church his family attended. Alejandro wanted to go. He told his parents with childlike certainty that Jesus would heal him that night. His mother refused at first. Rain and cold made her hesitant. Alejandro went to his room, got on his knees, and prayed a simple prayer. "Lord, if you want me there, speak to her." Within minutes, she knocked on his door with a blanket and agreed to take him as long as he kept it on. When they entered the church, the pastor looked at Alejandro and stopped mid-sermon. He began to flow in what Alejandro describes as a prophetic gift, speaking directly to his mother. "What the Lord is going to do in your son's life will be a testimony to the whole world. The whole world will hear about this miracle." Alejandro says the power of God came on him immediately. He began to weep. His mother wept too. Both ended up on the floor under the weight of that encounter. Alejandro left the service with settled confidence that healing had already happened. When they got home, he told his mother he believed the specialist appointment had become unnecessary. She insisted on going anyway. His mother had already contacted one of the top specialists in San Jose, Costa Rica, where Alejandro is originally from. The doctor had heard of the case and asked them to come in. X-rays were taken. A few hours later, the specialist called them into his office and compared the previous images with the new ones. He told them he could not explain what had happened. He had practiced medicine for 25 years. The tumor was gone. Heaven at 11. At 11, Alejandro experienced what he describes as a vision of heaven that imprinted him for life. He was in his room after hours of prayer, lying on the floor, when the presence of God came upon him with overwhelming strength. He describes an out-of-body experience. He looked down and saw his body on the floor. Then he saw an angel, tall and radiant, wearing a white tunic with a gold sash. The angel took his hand. They moved through a wall. Alejandro describes awareness of his home as they passed through. He could see his brother in the living room playing a video game. He could sense his mother in the kitchen cooking. He was aware of them as life continued around him. Then he describes ascending and suddenly arriving in a city of breathtaking beauty. He remembers a white road with gold and structures that looked like white marble. He also remembers how communication worked there. The angel did not speak aloud. He communicated spirit to spirit, and Alejandro understood him clearly. The table prepared for the supper of the Lamb. They came to an ancient gate, like something from an old castle. Alejandro felt a mighty rushing wind push past them, and the gate opened on its own. Inside, he saw a long rectangular table prepared for a gala dinner, white linen, gold trays filled with fruit and vegetables, gold cups, silver pieces, gold forks and knives. Above it all were chandeliers made of gold, diamonds, and precious stones. He emphasizes the source of light. Heaven carried illumination by the glory of the Lord, bright and supernatural, unlike any light on earth. The table stretched so far he could not see its end. Then he describes translation in the Spirit, arriving at the far end without walking the distance. There he saw a huge throne. In his spirit, he recognized it as the place where Jesus will sit to celebrate the supper of the Lamb. The angel confirmed it. The amphitheater of angels. They came to a second ancient door. Again the rushing wind. Again the door opening on its own. This time, Alejandro saw an amphitheater filled with thousands of angels worshiping in unison, arranged in rows. Some played instruments he recognized, including violins, guitars, and harps. Others carried flags and banners. Worship moved like a single tide. He describes a surge of desire to run toward Jesus, and then he describes how movement works there. Translation replaces speed. Place to place happens by the Spirit's movement, with an ease that makes rushing feel unnecessary. He then encountered another tall angel who asked his name. Alejandro answered, and the angel checked a book and welcomed him in. Three Thrones and the Voice of Jesus. Alejandro describes a giant platform covered in gold, with a river running through the middle. He walked up steps and saw three thrones. He saw something like a living screen of green meadows with a giant rainbow around it, clouds full of light, thunder and lightning. He recognized Jesus' throne. He recognized the Father's throne, covered in a cloud of lightning and power. He saw an empty throne he believes represented the Holy Spirit. Then the story becomes deeply personal. Alejandro says Jesus picked him up, sat him on his lap, pulled his head against his chest, and gently scratched his hair. He describes Shekinah glory surrounding him and the sound of angels singing. Then the worship quieted. Jesus stretched out his hand and a screen appeared. Alejandro saw himself preaching to thousands of people from many nations and races. Then he heard Jesus speak in an audible voice, "This shall be your ministry." He wanted to stay. Heaven felt like home. Then the angel beckoned from outside, calling him back. The Room of Record. Before returning, Alejandro describes a third room, a giant shelf like a bookshelf, an army of angels working, taking notes, recording what was happening on Earth. He saw what looked like a screen where they could see planet Earth, salvations, revivals, world events, prophetic events. The angels kept record with urgency and precision. Then the vision reversed. Alejandro was before planet Earth, then before his body. Then he woke up. 2 weeks later, he says, he was invited to preach publicly for the first time. His first public message and the fire of boldness. The invitation came through an unexpected doorway. His mother had become involved with a Christian outreach connected to Billy Graham, including showings of the Jesus film. His father entered a bookstore with her and saw a stack of gospel tracts. Tracts were Alejandro's favorite tool. The bookstore owner was a missionary coordinating outreach. Alejandro's father began telling him about his son's story. The healing, the calling, the unusual passion. The missionary asked them to bring Alejandro the following Saturday. He gave Alejandro's father a New Testament and signed it. That week, Alejandro prayed, asking the Lord to use him. He expected to hand out tracts. Instead, the missionary looked at the 11-year-old boy and asked, "Are you ready to preach this morning?" The outreach was larger than Alejandro expected. Around 150 people were spread through a park listening. He took the microphone trembling, nervous and without notes. Then he prayed, "Holy Spirit, help me." He says the Lord instructed him to preach on two ways, one leading to heaven, the other leading to eternal condemnation. He preached for 40 minutes without stopping. He describes the power of God coming on him like a lightning bolt. When he gave an altar call, 7 people responded. Then momentum built. Week after week, he was invited back. Salvations multiplied. He describes Saturdays where 20, 30, 100, even 200 people came to Christ. He also shares that his father came to faith when Alejandro was 12, and that Alejandro led him to Jesus during one of his campaign meetings. A miracle that marked his faith at 15. Alejandro has witnessed many miracles, and one moment stands out as a personal milestone. At 15, he was invited to share his testimony at a large church gathering. He noticed a woman in a wheelchair in the front row. She had lived with that limitation for 29 years. Alejandro had seen miracles and had prayed for people, and he describes a fear that kept him from praying for someone in a wheelchair. During the service, he says, the Lord spoke to him 3 times in an audible voice. The first time he hesitated. The second time he kept ministering because fear rose. The third time he describes it as thunder. Go pray for her and she will be healed. The service was televised. Cameras followed him as he walked down the steps. He says he could feel the glory of God in the room. A tangible atmosphere that carried heaven's weight. He approached the woman, laid hands on her gently, and said, "Jesus is going to heal you today." She smiled and said she had been waiting for that miracle, and she believed Jesus would heal her. He began praying. She stood. Alejandro instinctively held her hand to steady her. She told him to release her hand, because Jesus had already healed her. He let go, and she began to run, even sprint, with strength after nearly 3 decades in a wheelchair. Later, he received word that she was still walking well. A vision for the coming years. Wells of revival reopened. Alejandro also carries a prophetic sense of what is ahead. He describes a vision where an angel struck an ancient well, and the well burst open. A river sprang forth. He heard the Lord say he would reopen ancient wells of revival and open new wells of revival around the world. He believes the coming years will hold an extraordinary harvest. He speaks of a window between now and 2033, if Jesus tarries, as a time marked by a faceless, nameless revival. In his view, this move centers on participation across the whole body of Christ. Believers praying for the sick, casting out demons, making disciples, and carrying the gospel into everyday places. He says he has seen scenes presented to him like screens. People in the streets laying hands on the sick, people rising from mats and wheelchairs, and even resurrection miracles. His emphasis stays consistent. Participation, mobilization, ordinary believers stepping into the works of Jesus. Fire, intimacy, and a church made ready. If Alejandro's story carries a signature theme, it is friendship with the Holy Spirit. He speaks of the Holy Spirit as comforter, guide, friend, and counselor. He emphasizes quality time as the language of the Father's heart. He urges believers to know the Holy Spirit as a person, with presence that leads to Jesus and into deeper life with the Father. He also speaks of purification. He describes the year since 2020 as a church reset, a season of sanctification and accountability. In his language, God is refining the church in preparation for greater glory. Fire is his recurring metaphor. Fire that purifies, fire that illuminates, fire that keeps lamps burning, fire that brings boldness like Peter stepping out of the upper room, fire that releases miracles through ordinary believers. The work he is building, P26 and a global Pentecost vision. After hearing Alejandro's story, I wanted to understand the assignment he is carrying right now. I wanted the scope, the structure, and the reason this vision is expanding with such speed. That conversation led to P26, his shorthand for a Pentecost-focused push built around coordinated gospel crusades and a mobilized church. Alejandro spoke about it with the clarity of someone who has built a vision from early testing into scalable infrastructure. He told me it began in 2023 with a pilot. During Easter weekend, they ran 10 gospel crusades in one weekend across 10 different stadiums, collaborating with multiple evangelists. He said they worked with 8 evangelists and saw over 10,000 people come to the Lord. From there, the vision accelerated. In 2024, they sensed direction to move beyond a single nation and pursue a region. They focused on South America and partnered with national coordinators, aligned with mobilization efforts there. That year, they ran 10 crusades across 10 nations, and Alejandro said they saw over 100,000 people come to the Lord. Then they prayed again, and the assignment widened, and the direction became global. A worldwide framework carried by many hands at once. Alejandro emphasized collaboration repeatedly, naming partnerships and relational alignment with other ministries and evangelism networks. By 2025, they expanded to 25 nations. Alejandro said the model matured as the scope increased. The timeline extended across the year, running campaigns from March through December, and he said they saw over 300,000 people come to the Lord. Now, as he described it, 2026 is the next major stretch. Their goal for 2026 is 50 nations. And when we spoke, Alejandro said, they already had 45 plus evangelists in cities confirmed, with momentum continuing to build. Their target is bold and specific, 1 million souls. He also spoke about 2027, sharing that planning has already begun towards 70 nations, because infrastructure for a vision like this is built ahead of the calendar. His language was steady, practical, and forward-looking, the way it has to be when you are coordinating across nations. What stood out most to me was the heart of P26, mobilization. Alejandro described their pre-evangelism strategy, the groundwork laid before crusade nights begin. Teams saturate cities with the gospel through outreach in high schools, college campuses, and public spaces, and he said much of their measurable fruit comes through campus evangelism. He described open doors on college campuses across the world, and he spoke about pursuing that moment with intentionality. He also clarified how crusades work. They require preparation, resources, local relationships, and strategic thinking. He described their structure as regional and national coordination, with leaders who understand large-scale gospel logistics. He gave a specific example from Africa, one of their regional coordinators helping lead crusades across the continent, worked closely with Reinhard Bonnke for more than 30 years and helped oversee major evangelistic operations. That kind of leadership explains how an initiative scales with strength. When I asked what would help this vision most right now, Alejandro's answer was direct. They need partners. They need support. They need kingdom alliances. Global mobilization requires human power and real resources. P26 is a mobilization vision built on unity, collaboration, and cooperation, with Pentecost as the frame. A structure that assumes the church can move together and that ordinary believers can become active participants again. When you step back and look at his story as a whole, the through line stays the same. Jesus restores, Jesus heals, Jesus calls, Jesus sends. Pastor Alejandro Arias is an evangelist and the president of Alejandro Arias International Ministries. Based in the Orlando area with his wife, Rebecca, and their two daughters, he has preached the gospel for more than 28 years and has ministered across 5 continents, including more than 60 countries. Arias partners with networks, including the GO Movement and Global Evangelist Alliances, and he serves as international president and director of the Pentecost 26 Initiative. To learn more, visit alejandroarias.org. Thank you for listening to this audio article from Revival Magazine, part of the Revival Here Plus Their editorial platform. For more thoughtful features, inspiring testimonies, and stories of faith in motion, visit us online at revivalmagazine.global.